News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL. Good afternoon. I'm Steve Evans. The Rural Utah Chamber Coalition annual conference was held in Vernal on Thursday and Friday of this week. Now, the keynote speaker for the Friday session was our Utah State Treasurer, Marlo Oakes. And Marlo has been gracious enough to come in the studios and visit with us about a big subject that we hear a little bit about, but many of us really truly don't understand what it is and what it means to us, and that's ESG. So we'll be talking about that. Marlo, welcome to the Uinta Basin, and thank you for taking time to come out and meet with your constituents here in northeastern Utah.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. So, Marlo, let me ask you quickly, what is ESG?
So ESG stands for Environmental, Social, and Governance, and it's in the investment world, but it really has broad implications for all of us. People look at it and say, okay, well, this is just a way of investing, but it goes beyond that. It's really a political score, because underlying ESG are political issues, particularly in the S part. So the social part, these are issues that are being pushed on corporate America. So businesses are being asked to adopt political issues in their businesses. And the reason that they're being asked to do that is because a lot of these political issues did not make it through a congressional body or some kind of legislative body. Mm-hmm. Because they couldn't make it through a legislative body, those who are pushed behind this agenda saw that it could be pushed through businesses easier, and that there wasn't the same checks and balances.
Are businesses being asked to participate in this or forced to participate in it?
It's really both, right? And initially it might be, this is going to be better for you, so you should probably do it. And then there are potential ramifications if you don't.
We hear recently Bud Light has taken controversial stands, which would increase, I imagine, their social score. We see that with corporations throughout our culture. Disney, Coca-Cola, just to name a few. Nike is another one.
Yep.
What is the motive behind them jumping in these controversial issues that seem to divide? What is their motivation of participating in these?
Well, you have to think about what is the agenda behind this. The agenda behind this is to push politics through corporations. And to do that successfully, you have to change what a corporation, the purpose of a corporation or the purpose of a company. Traditionally, the purpose of a company was to serve its owners, mm-hmm. the shareholder, right? If you change that to society, then you can push societal issues through the corporation. And so those who are trying to push these social agendas and environmental agendas have to change the purpose of a corporation to serve society. And that is, by definition, stakeholder capitalism. Stakeholder capitalism is another term for ESG, environmental social governance. It changes the ultimate owner or the duty of the corporation or the company from the owners to the stakeholders or society.
Now, if they're bypassing Congress, is this constitutional?
Well, it's because it's happening in the marketplace with investors. This is where it becomes problematic, right? Because it's not, it's essentially changing the fiduciary duty of an investor. So if I'm an investor, right? If I have a 401k or a retirement plan, the duty owed to me is that decisions will be made that will benefit me financially. If that changes so that the duty is no longer to me but to society, then I can push social issues through the corporation, and so it's really the corruption of the fiduciary standards in this country. So I can change the obligation that I have as a pension plan. If my obligation isn't to the underlying investor or the beneficiary, each of us that has a 401k, right? If that changes to now be society, we have to serve society because we have an existential threat because of the climate, for example, right? So mm-hmm. all of us have to do our part. That's what's going on now.
And our oil and gas industry are doing their part. It's the cleanest energy in the world.
Well, absolutely. Developed countries like the United States have the cleanest energy and the cleanest ways of extracting that energy. And so it makes absolutely no sense to undermine those industries that are foundational to society, right, in the name of climate change, because it harms all of society. And there really isn't an alternative that we have that's baseload power or, you know, other kinds of energy that can step in.
Does the ESG score affect fossil fuels? And does it affect their access to capital?
Yes, and that's the critical part. It's really ESG is used, it's like a political score that is used to punish or reward compliance to a political agenda. So the political agenda is the Paris Climate Accords to drive to net zero in our fossil fuel, not just extraction, but the use of fossil fuel, right, throughout the economy. So Chevron and ExxonMobil, they are being pushed to adopt net zero plans.
Where we only have 11% of our energy uses in the United States devoted to alternative energy sources. Mm-hmm. That's not feasible in the near future. In the near future.
No, it's not. And it's not baseload. It's not baseload power. It also, most of the components are coming from China. So we become more dependent on China and our energy becomes less reliable, right, when we move to these kind of green sources. Now, that's not to say that we should be against green energy. We just have to be smart about the energy policies that we have. We can't just move to nothing. I liken it to shooting the horse in the 1870s before the car's been invented. What are you moving to, right?
A good analogy.
I mean, that's essentially what we find ourselves at, the place that we're at. Energy and agriculture are the two foundational industries of any prosperous society. And those two are under attack like never before.
Right. Free market economics, how does that affect a small business?
So the free market economics is really freedom in an economic, economic world. The way our system was set up, it's a pluralistic system where the markets have many different actors. Each of us is an actor in that marketplace because businesses are trying to attract our spending dollars. Mm-hmm. And if you move to stakeholder capitalism, it is really centralized control. You're substituting our pluralistic institutions of the marketplace. So each of us determining how we want to spend our money. We're now being told, no, you can't spend money on, you know, energy. You can't, if you have the wrong kind of energy, then you could be potentially punished.
Looking, projecting the future 10 years, maybe 15 years, do you think that this is going to be take hold in Utah?
Well,
and nationally,
I hope not. And this is really the great one of the great issues of our time here in the United States. The big theme is centralization versus decentralization. Centralization, you see the government really trying to centralize power.
Bigger government, more power.
Yes, and the agencies being weaponized against the citizenry. You see decentralization, you know, cryptocurrency. I'm not saying pro or against. I'm just making the observation that cryptocurrency is a decentralized kind of an idea. The internet, the decentralization of information, right? But now you have social media companies that are trying to centralize information. You see the federal government trying to centralize and tell people what is disinformation and misinformation, right? It's a big global theme being pushed, the centralization of power versus decentralization of power. And our form of government is a decentralized form of government where we have, you know, checks and balances. The markets are a decentralized institution where many different actors have different views about the future. ESG is counter to that because it tries to centralize and tell people what they can and cannot do with their money. It's saying that, energy, we have to move to green energy. We have to abandon fossil fuels. Companies have to put in place net zero plans of how they're going to reduce their use of coal, oil, and gas.
So we end up losing liberties.
Oh, absolutely.
And we lose our identity.
Yes.
That was part of your presentation earlier at the conference, was losing your identity and the creativeness that comes from a free market society.
That's right.
Of inventions and innovations. And,
that's right.
And all of the things, the Apple phone, all of the things that we're enjoying today in this studio were brought about by free thinkers.
That's right.
How does it affect them?
Yeah, because you essentially are saying somebody has determined what the goals are, what the problems are in society, and what are the goals that have to be achieved to address those problems in society. And unless everybody goes along, then we are all going to, with climate, it's an existential threat, so we're all going to die unless we all work together and adopt these policies. The idea is to push to a centralized system.
Isn't communism centralized?
Yeah. Yes.
So,
yes.
All right. What about, you know, I've been called a conspiracy theorist because I bring up this term in the wrong company. New World Order. How does this fit into the New World Order? And is New World Order a real thing, or is this just a conspiracy?
Well, so you look at the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum is some of the wealthiest individuals, some of the most powerful individuals, the corporate CEOs and wealthy families. You know, Klaus Schwab, the Great Reset. Really, this is an effort to remake capitalism. And so the World Economic Forum has signed an agreement with the United Nations. The United Nations is very much has been infiltrated by the Chinese Communist Party. If you think about the United States, historically, we've tried to push our values globally through democracy and freedom.
Right. Nothing wrong with that.
No. Other countries have done the same. Mm-hmm. Communists have done the same thing, the Chinese Communist Party.
Right.
Right? And they are now pushing in the UN to have greater control over that body. And there is a push to globalize or really create a global governance structure. That's what the UN essentially is. The World Economic Forum, same kind of thing. World Economic Forum is really pushing ESG, because if you can break the free enterprise system, right, and consolidate power where the most money is, then you have control over the actions of business and therefore individuals and what policies are pushed through society.
I know there were some legislative items that our state legislators were working on this last session. One of them involved pensions, state pensions. The state has management over those pensions. What is the state legislature trying to accomplish?
Yeah, so the idea is to preserve the fiduciary standard of overseeing those pension money. So the idea is that the pension system owes a duty of loyalty and care to the beneficiary, the end beneficiary. Right.
The state workers, the state employees that are part of that, our teachers.
Exactly. Yeah. And we cannot politicize that function. And so the money that is invested has to be invested in a way that pursues the best return for a given level of risk.
Okay.
And it cannot be politicized. That was the whole point of that particular bill. Mm-hmm. And we're in.
And ESG politicizes it.
Yes, ESG absolutely.
Did that bill
politicized.
Pass, by
yes,
the way?
It did.
It did.
Yep. So the whole point, if you think about ESG as a thumb on the scale, really trying to politicize the capital markets, people sometimes think, well, people are pushing against ESG are just a mirror image of that. That's not the case at all. If it's a thumb on the scale, anti-ESG or those who are fighting ESG are trying to pull the thumb off of the scale so that business can focus on business and focus on shareholder supremacy, that they are serving the owners of the business, not societal interests that are determined by some centralized power.
Thank you for joining us. If you're just tuning in, you've been listening to our state treasurer, Marlo Oakes, who was the keynote speaker for the Friday session of the Rural Utah Chamber Coalition. And I'd like to, if I wanted to learn more, how would I find it, and what can we do as citizens to effect a change?
Yeah, so if you go to my website, marlooakes.com, there's a section called Stop ESG, and you can read some of the articles that I've written. And then, people can have their voices heard. This is so important because companies have only heard from one side. So much of the activity that's happening in corporate America today is coming from extreme shareholder activists. They're almost like corporate terrorists. Mm-hmm. They go in and they terrorize these companies. And because companies aren't hearing from another voice, they are succumbing to these terrorists, essentially. And so they need to hear from us. If you care about companies and they're politicizing their business, then don't just stop doing business with them. Tell them why you stopped doing business with them. The other thing you can do is buy a share of stock and show up at their annual meeting and have your voice heard and tell management that you don't appreciate the politicization of the business world and that needs to stop. None of us wants to go to work at a place that is hostile to our ideology. Business has traditionally been a safe harbor for us to come together as Americans to drop the politics at the door, come together and work on something that's important that the business is created. Right. And we do that without the need for politics. Now, business has been involved in the political process to the extent that it affects the shareholder, right? They're trying to protect the shareholder interests through that political process. But now where businesses have adopted politics and are driving politics through their business, it's changed the dynamic of business. So people that go to work today, some people fear for their jobs. They either keep their mouth shut and put food on the table, or they speak their mind and may lose their job, right? There is a culture of fear throughout America, particularly if you have the wrong ideology, that you can't speak up and say anything. And that is totally counter to what you and I grew up with.
Right, right. So if you're angry at Bud Light right now, and many people are, you write a letter to who?
To their investor relations. Is a good place.
And do they care?
They do if you have been a customer, and they should care.
Travis Tritt, country artist Travis Tritt, and, and Kid Rock are making a big statement on social media right now.
Yeah,
and so we should do that in our respective. I have a friend, Brian Gorham, that wrote Coca-Cola of his displeasure for some of the social stances and political stances that they were taking as a corporation. Is that type of thing good for us to do?
Yes. And it's important that companies hear from us. That is really important because companies are falling to this ideology because they aren't hearing from anybody else. And we've got to let the people that we have our retirement with. If the only investment manager that they have in your 401k lineup is politicizing the investment dollars that you have with them, they need to hear from you and say they are not upholding the fiduciary obligation that they have to me as the beneficiary. This is my investments, and my retirement is at risk by them pursuing ESG. It's a very serious issue.
And as our state treasurer, with the support of the legislature, what are you doing?
So I sold all of our BlackRock exposure in the treasury.
BlackRock, Vanguard,
and State Street. Those three are the largest passive managers. They're the ones that have attracted the most retirement money because they're cheap. Right? An index is very inexpensive. And so a lot of retirement systems have adopted that kind of strategy.
And so we're moving away from BlackRock. And that makes a big statement, doesn't it?
Yes.
And if other states will follow suit?
Yes.
So that's Utah is really taking the lead on this under your stewardship, under your direction and vision.
Well, and part of that is that I have been the only state treasurer with institutional investment management experience. So I understood when I saw what was happening, I understood what was happening and could speak to it. Whereas, you know, some of the other state treasurers didn't necessarily have that background. And so I've felt it incumbent upon me to educate people about this.
Are you networking with other state treasurers? Yes. And are you getting traction with your arguments?
Oh, yes. You know, there's a lot of states that are pushing back on this and pushing back successfully. You know, Vanguard stepped away from the net zero asset manager initiative, which is a collusive body essentially that is pushing an agenda. Munich Re and Zurich Insurance both dropped being in the net zero insurance alliance.
So the movement is gaining traction.
It is.
And how you can help is write a letter to corporations, and it would be your investment relations person is who you would address those letters to. Also, contact our state and federal leaders.
Yes.
And let our state and federal representatives know what your feelings are about ESG.
And they've
congratulate
been
them for passing this piece of legislation and encourage them to do more.
Yes. Yeah, and they've been very supportive. We're in much better shape in this state than a lot of other states, both you know, our federal delegation and our state leaders and legislators. So that's good.
Well, we appreciate it. Are there any closing thoughts that you have, State Treasurer Marlo Oakes?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, ESG is sort of the moniker that people hear today. That's likely going to change because it's come under such an attack. So it'll likely change to something like sustainable investing or some similar word.
Ah, so the name gets a black eye, you change the name.
Absolutely. That's always the way it is, right? And so stakeholder capitalism.
Deceptive.
Yeah. When you change the duty to from the end beneficiary or the owner of the company to society, you have adopted a system that is political in nature. Because then you can drive politics. So whatever they call it, it's still stakeholder capitalism. Stakeholder capitalism is essentially, it could be thought of as authoritarianism.
Right, right. Utah State Treasurer Marlo Oakes, we appreciate you taking time to come into the KVEL studios and address this important issue of ESG. And will you come back and visit with us and inform us, especially if they have a name change, and let us know the progress that we're making, if you would. We'd really appreciate it. Utah State Treasurer Marlo Oakes, who was at the attended the Rural Utah Chamber Coalition annual conference, which was held in Vernal last week. He was the keynote speaker for the Friday session, and we sure appreciate you coming in to visit with us. I'm Steve Evans, and thank you for joining us on News Talk 104.5 FM and AM 920 KVEL.